be with us. Welcome to the March 17th edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'm your host, Robert Norris. And we have the squeaky mic here. I don't know if you can hear it where you are, but it's making me nervous. But hey, let's get some squeaky wheel action going in the community. We might be able to get some grease from the powers that be at the very least, and maybe some real change. The number to call in for this show is 427-3772. You're tuned to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm your host, Robert Norris, and for the next 3.5 hours, we'll be discussing issues of civil rights on the streets and in the suites, and mostly on the streets here in Santa Cruz. As the rain comes down, you can realize that you're lucky enough to be indoors, there are numerous people, 1,000 to 2,000 in the city limits alone, who are not. They are outdoors. They are forbidden to put up a tent at any time against that rain. It is considered criminal behavior under the county's camping ordinance to put up a tent, not just at night from 11 to 8:30 in the morning when it is illegal to sleep and it is illegal to cover up with a blanket, but it's actually illegal 24 hours a day to set up a tent. So you might want to give the city council a call on that issue. They're the ones who keep this law in place. It's not a federal law. It's not a Bush policy from the Fuhrer Ridge. It's not a military martial law policy endorsed or enforced by the war against terrorism. No, it's the city council's own war against the homeless. It's been going on for about 25 years. The law was originally passed in 1978, and we have not been able to get a reasoned discussion on that law in terms of the comparing the needs of homeless people in this city with resources available with the concerns of the merchants and the businesses, and have that really weighed in a rational fashion by any city council. There have been several attempts to get that done, but it's all been essentially sidelined into a backroom process under former mayor Catherine Byers, and then, of course, stonewalled under mayors Sugar, Fitzmaurice, and now under Mayor Krohn, or should I call him Fuhrer Krohn, based upon his repressive actions at the last city council meeting, where he had one person arrested for making a gesture from the audience, a silent gesture. That person, of course, was me, and it was a brief Nazi salute in response to his repressing a person at the mic who wanted her 2 minutes to speak, Susan Zeman. There was time remaining in oral communications. He refused to give it to her and ordered her away from the mic on penalty of expulsion and potential arrest. When the same order was given to me for not even saying anything at the mic, but simply raising my hand in an expression of disapproval, saying, in essence, you guys are acting like fascists, without actually using those words, I was ordered to leave the room, and then when I tried to continue to participate in the public meeting, as we all have a right to, I was arrested, taken off in handcuffs, held for 5.5 hours, and charged with disrupting a public assembly, and face now a year in jail and a $1,000 fine as a potential maximum for that crime. That happened last Tuesday at the 7 o'clock city council meeting, and interestingly enough, that's on the internet. The video of this whole thing, though community TV refused to do anything about it in terms of they refused to take any pictures of what actually happened in terms of my arrest. I think a few brief shots got out if you look at the community television tape of that city council, which is available from the city council clerk. You can see mostly they're kind of focusing on a pillar. The council was actually put into recess so that the city council would be spared the embarrassment of watching me get arrested on television. And having the public actually see before its very eyes what went on, rather than simply have to take the Sentinel's word for it. Now, actually, you don't have to take the Sentinel's word for it. It is now online, and you should go to the, I want to thank the Santa Cruz Independent Media site for putting it online, and that's at santacruz.indymedia, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, and Santa Cruz is one word, santacruz.indymedia.org. And just look for the recent newswire, and the articles are labeled as S. Cruz video of Robert Norris incident, and then there's photos of the arrest. And you'll see it's just remarkable that Krohn would allow himself to be dictated to by Fitzmaurice and then manipulated by Kennedy. Fitzmaurice is the person, the council member to Mayor Krohn's right, who told him he wanted me arrested or expelled, at least, from the council chambers, instead of saying, well, do you want to make a motion of that effect? I think we should just pass on. Let's say, Mr. Norris, just don't do that again, please, or something like that, which, you know, would have been equally inappropriate in terms of the rights that we have at city council. And you can stand with your arm up in a fascist salute all day if you want. You can, till your arm gets tired, provided it doesn't disrupt the council meeting. You know, if you're standing in the front row blocking people's view, if you're directing some sort of hostile gaze at someone else in the audience, but you have a right to express dissident opinion at public meetings. I mean, that's just sort of a key part, not just of the Constitution, but even of the state legal structure, which is the Brown Act, which guarantees you the right to speak regardless of whether the city council likes what you say, provided you do so in the appropriate time, place, and manner. And the manner does not include the content of the speech. That's the point. And also Kennedy, who instead of letting the public see what happened, whispered quickly to Crone, recess the meeting, recess the meeting. And the meeting got recessed so that this was all done behind the backs of the community. Now, I have to say, I wasn't, as I mentioned at the last radio program, which I did on Thursday, which I do from 6 to 8 here on Free Radio, I wasn't terribly impressed with the response of the Peace Park minions who stood at the mic urging that the council spend $93,000 on a peace park, or at least not impede the peace park. I actually was in support of their position, but not willing to stand up for the right of public dissent at city council and to stop the repressive process of their council members, which has been going on not just at this council, but for the last 2 years. If you've been following my show, you'll know that people have been threatened with arrest and removed from the chambers for using words like Führer, flunky, for trying to draw the attention, needing oral communications, our public comment on an item. They've moved items to the back of the agenda 6 or 7 hours down the road so that they don't have to be bothered with the person who is going to speak on the item. They had David Silva arrested and dragged off from the council meeting. This was for an alleged burn myself up threat. Well, it was a real burn myself up threat, which was in essence simply an expression of extreme frustration, and it was done so in a way where it happened right in the middle of a discussion. He didn't suddenly say he was going to burn himself up. He had made these comments days before. The police apparently didn't find it, or the council didn't find it particularly a matter of concern until the middle of the council meeting, when he was talking about another subject, a subject they didn't like, the Dolphin Lee subject, where the council is giving away all the affordable housing money to its favorite monopoly charity housing provider, its only housing provider, obviously favorite one, Mercy Housing California. And Silva was dragged off to a psych ward where he was promptly released. They're saying, you have no reason to hold you here. You're sane as we are. You're saner than we are, or you're saner than they are. And he's now suing the city for damages. That case, I think, is in depositions. I believe Becky Johnson, who was one of the witnesses, was deposed a week or two ago on that subject. This is a long, long train of abuses around the city council, and attempts to discuss it with them privately to say, look, I've written them actually a total of 7 or 8 letters detailing the concerns I have about not just the repressive process that's used at city council to deal with people, but the failure to have an open process so there can be some real community input. There should, for example, be oral communications of a more substantial sort, so that on items when public is usually allowed to speak after the staff gives a report, you should be able to speak after the council discusses the matter and makes changes in what's going to be done, so that the public can reply to some of the council debate, maybe a shorter period, but, you know, an opportunity for real dialogue with the community. And or the city council could be responsive to hands raised in the council chambers. Instead, the council talks on endlessly itself, among itself, but refuses to afford the public even the minimal courtesy of, let's say, a right of reply. So, for example, if your name is used, if Council Member Sugar denounces you, as he has me on occasion by name, you don't get a right to walk up to the mic and reply. You used to, under previous mayors, but not these people anymore. Crone has denied me the right to reply when my name was savaged by Scott Kennedy. And I'm not saying that I'm some sort of sensitive fellow, but I think you have to have the opportunity to set the record straight. And yes, I am a sensitive fellow, actually, but let's not get into that here. And publicly, you have to have a certain thickness of skin if you're going to be involved in this discussion, and realize that a lot of the interaction is not a personal thing. I don't hate any of these council members personally. I say hello to them. We were amiable. I don't have much of a personal relationship with them at all. But I don't have any, hostility toward them in their private lives. That's their affair. It's how they act publicly and politically that count, and that matter to us. The fact that they don't introduce rent control, even though the rents are skyrocketing. The fact, as I said, that they give away all the affordable housing money to one housing provider behind closed doors with a board that meets in violation of the Brown Act. It's a bad situation. So anyway, you can take a look at all that particular latest really outrageous bit of criminal buffoonery by Fuhrer Fitzmaurice. I mean Fitzmaurice, Fuhrer Krohn. And I call him Fuhrer Krohn because that's how he's acting. He's acting. He didn't go to the city council and say, "Should you know, what should we do with this immediate situation?" He just decided, took his orders from, I guess it's Fuhrer Fitzmaurice and sub-Fuhrer Krohn, I don't know. He just did what Fitzmaurice told him to do and had me evicted from the chambers. And when I wouldn't go, he had me arrested. Which is a nice way to get your critics out of the council and to impress on other people that you better keep your criticism rather muted, or you may find yourself in the same situation. It's not the most inviting environment to a council meeting. I don't have the rules of decorum here with me in the studio. They are they're completely sort of the whimsical, arbitrary, and capricious rules of the city council about what can and can't be said. As I understand it, and I have yet to do some solid research on this personally, and I will hopefully be coming back on Thursday with more discussion based on intelligent research that I've actually done, there's a First Amendment project in Sacramento which has spoken to activist Thomas Levitt, who is concerned about this whole eviction for a salute saying "you're a fascist" to Mayor Krohn, in essence, the silent Nazi salute indicating satirically what kind of fascists have we got on the city council. He was concerned about it. He contacted Sacramento and talked to some of the folks of the First Amendment Foundation, which knows a lot about the Brown Act, which is the act that requires city governments to respect the rights of the public. And apparently he was told that council can make up whatever rules they want. There's still a First Amendment. That's really the key issue. And while you can't disrupt the process of the council, you certainly are not subject to a lot of rules that are arbitrary and subjective about what they think you can and can't do at the council. You shall not speak in contemptuous terms. You shall not speak in harsh terms. That's all very well as a potential guideline, but it cannot be a basis for excluding someone from the council chambers. If you want to join this conversation, and we're talking about city council's exclusion of people from council, specifically me last week, the phone number to call is 427-3772, 427-3772, or if you're alphabetically inclined, 427-FRSC, for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Free Radio is the radio station that you are tuned to, and don't you forget it. When I was up north at the homeless summit, kind of a mini homeless summit, we're planning our own, by the way, May 3rd and 4th here in Santa Cruz, so mark it on your calendar, May 3rd and 4th, Friday and Saturday. There was a sort of a quick summit called in response to the supervisor's gruesome Newsom, Gavin Newsom, who is trying to cut back homeless people's visibility by making it illegal for them to panhandle in many circumstances and cutting back the money that they get, saying, "Oh, instead we'll shove you into a shelter and give you $50. And there were some other supervisors who said, "No, let's talk about the real issues underlying homelessness, not just simply fashionable Fuhrer Giuliani type moves." And I use the word Fuhrer quite consciously. That's what Giuliani did. He acted in a fascist manner in New York City for year after year towards the homeless, towards artists, towards poor people, towards any critics of the police department. We don't just want to have the way that Hitler cleaned up the homeless in Germany. He went after the homeless, the Jews, and the mentally disabled first, of course, and those were put in concentration camps, and I guess it was the mentally ill that were gassed first. It was called mercy killing or some such thing. And I'm not suggesting that there is a gassing program going on, but the process of repressing homeless and poor people and young people and counterculture people and people who are dissidents, particularly in a, quote, war climate. It looks like a war climate at city council to me, mirroring the national war climate. Our council can't even get a resolution against the war being discussed on the floor of the council. And they haven't, as the bombing continues and the war expansion plans continue, nothing is being done by this council. But in any case, we have a situation at council where In San Francisco, similarly, this Board of Supervisors, which acts as their city council, held a summit, some of them, to kind of counter the repressive policies being proposed by other supervisors. And I went up there briefly, and I've talked about that on the show. That was a couple weeks ago. And I ran into a singer up there, a woman named Barbara Anderson. And here she is. That was Barbara Anderson and Naked Truth, Evening's Bed, a comp CD given to me by blues singer Barbara Anderson, who was at this homeless summit in San Francisco. Maybe we can get her to come and do some singing on Friday, May 3rd at the homeless summit in Santa Cruz. That would be great. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and I'm Robert Norse. And last week, my producer just ragged me over the coals, and then she dragged me over the coals, and she was concerned that the tape-recorded segment I played of the arrest at City Council was constantly interrupted by my tiresome analysis. And what I'm going to do now is... I don't actually have the same tape in the studio. It's a sort of an interesting shot-in-the-dark situation with me and tapes. I grab what I can when I get to this program, and I'm probably one of the least well-organized people on free radio. But I do have a tape that I didn't play for you last show, which has to do with this arrest at City Council. And this is a tape that I initially made, which happened a bit before the arrest, immediately before the arrest, and then Becky Johnson, who was videotaping this, shifted to an audio tape and was also audio taping this subsequent events around the arrest, where I was in a squad car and she was just talking with Officer Brandt, who was the individual who took me to the squad car. And I'm going to actually play this through with very little interruption. I will try to restrain myself, though I'm always eager to explain, as you listeners know. This, again, is a tape that starts about 7:45 or 7:50 on Tuesday night at City Council. And we join the City Council as the mayor stops Susan Zeman from talking. And as I said, Susan Zeman is a peace activist who can be found every Friday at the Ocean and Water Street lifting a sign between, I think, 5 and 6:30, encouraging people to end the war. I wish there were more of her. And she was going to talk about the Peace Park, which many people in line have been discussing. I was the individual behind her. I was the speaker behind her. And Tomasi, the man whose voice you're going to hear in a moment, kind of the irascible man who lives in his van, was being thrown out of City Council for having raised his voice. He was speaking from the floor. He wasn't at the mic. He was speaking in a sort of an obstreperous and angry manner, and he was speaking without any indication he would stop speaking. So there might have been some justification for excluding him, or at least telling him to wait his turn, but of course he was being denied access to oral communications too. He was actually the third person who was not being allowed to speak. There were three of us who wanted our 2 minutes to speak. And now you'll hear you'll hear that tape that begins there. Some of it's not terribly audible, so I may break in, but I'll try to restrain myself. City Council, March 12th.
I will see you on the street, pal. You too, Pachi.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave if you don't pass that word to my phone.
Three, Charles,
what's your plan on
scene?
Thank you very much. Email will be accepted during the council meeting. The address is gmoyne@ci.santa.cruz.ca.us. This address is the same thing as council during meetings only.
Mayor, point of order.
Mr. Morris,
Mr. Norris made a Nazi salute, and I think you ought to be removed.
As a response to the cutting off of oral communication, an act of free speech. The Brown Act, I have the right to participate here, and I intend to remain.
You're out of order, sir.
No offense, ma'am.
It is 7:50.
Yeah, you can't remove you from the chambers for doing that. That's ridiculous.
That's right.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Less than 30 minutes.
No, they cut off oral communication before 30 minutes was over, because they engaged in
dialogue with one of the speakers.
Cutting people back to, you know, 2 minutes per speaker. I mean, there's no precedent for that. You know, removing the ability for the public to participate in these meetings and cutting it down. This is the council that said that they're going to improve access for the public at these meetings. This is not a very good example. So what are you going to talk about?
Would you please, that lady, get what she wants to say? Would that be okay? No?
No.
So we're outside with Susan. Susan, what did you want to say?
Yeah, it's very bad.
You know, it shouldn't matter who you
are. No, I don't see it. Okay, well, you know, that woman was talking about how a peace park should not be in the heart of the city because that's a place where people ought to be able to contemplate peace. And I think it's important for us to exactly have it in the heart of the city because in this culture, we don't contemplate peace very often. We tend to avert our eyes and pretend like we don't see it. And so I think it's sort of crucial for that to exactly be right there in the hub of the city, you know, right there in the heart of Santa Cruz City.
Now, you stood up at the mic and you simply wanted to say that.
Yeah.
You stood there for a while until you were threatened with arrest, first ignored by Mayor Crown.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I didn't. I saw it. In fact, can you believe that he threatened to arrest me for doing that? It's hard to believe.
You know, the other thing that I was going to mention is that oh, are you going to go in? That's okay. I'm going to take off. Bye.
Okay.
So Leslie did not make a notation when the oral communication started and acknowledges that she simply added up the number of speakers, gave them 2 minutes each plus the first speaker. Give me the message in here, Sergeant Baker.
He asked me to request that you leave and that he's barring you from the chambers and he wants you to do so rapidly.
I appreciate your passing on that message, Sergeant.
I'm just trying to...
No, I understand. I'm not...
Right.
I guess my next question is, do you intend to comply with that?
I don't know. I might. I'm thinking about it. I got to talk to the mayor. Do you intend to have me arrested for making an act of free speech in here? Is that what you're going to do?
You're not invited back in.
Well, this is a public meeting. I don't have to be invited back in, Chris.
163 Santa Cruz Record,
nothing. Unfortunately, I've got to get somebody to drive my car. You have a driver's license, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to need someone to drive my car.
Okay, where's your car at?
My car, actually.
Okay, where's it at?
It's parked across the street in the Civic Auditorium parking lot.
Okay, what would I do? Take it to Becky's? Take it to Becky's or what?
Come over here. Let's figure this out. Becky, where can you park my car? Because I can't. I've got a parking spot. Up the street from your house?
Yeah. Okay, Robert. He wants, at this point, the mayor's requested that I have you leave. If you fail to leave, then you'll be arrested.
Under what charge?
I would assume trespassing. I would get direction from the city attorney to make sure. But
okay, my belief is that I have a right to be here under the Brown Act. I'm not engaging in any disruptive behavior.
And I don't know the answer to that, Robert. All I'm saying is that at this point I'm asking you to leave. If you fail to comply, I don't have a lot of choice but to arrest you. And given the fact that there's a reasonable likelihood that this would continue, I would do so as an in-custody arrest, a misdemeanor arrest.
You can do that, although I suspect that once you arrest me, the point will have been made, and I probably would leave at that point.
Of course. I'm asking you right now, do you want to leave or be arrested?
I simply want to participate in the public meeting by listening to the meeting.
So
that's what I want to do.
Do you intend to leave at this point?
Not at this moment.
Okay. Then I'm going to ask you to place your hands around your act, please.
Let me get this paper back.
No problem. I'm just going to ask you to place your hands around your act, please. Thank you.
Being arrested for attending a public meeting. This meeting is still in recess, and I'm being arrested for being in here. I want this point made.
Mr. Norris, could you please place your hands behind your back?
I'm being arrested because I made a silent motion protesting Susan Zeman's exclusion from oral communication before oral communication had finished.
Mr. Norris.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I have a box, so keep the temperature.
Thank you.
Give me the charge a second. I want to
10 and sections 12.2.12.000.23.2 responsibility to the engineer. This is the final adoption of this ordinance.
The city council meeting has begun again, and Robert is being put into the police car for Sergeant Baker has checked with City Attorney Barasoni, and perhaps they're conferring about what the
at City Council.
Was it for the Nazi salute, or do you have any idea, Officer Brandt, why he was arrested?
You have to ask him.
He's asking you what he's being arrested for.
What am I being arrested for?
He says he told you already.
No. Tell him to tell you right now. What am I being arrested for?
He said he won't do that.
I asked you, what am I being arrested for? Officer Grant, I am requesting that information. What am I being arrested for?
I have told you once.
What?
I will not tell you again. I do not have to keep repeating myself.
What am I being arrested for? Officer Brandon, is this a legal arrest if I'm not being told what I'm being arrested for? I don't want speculation. I want to know what I'm charged with. What am I being charged with? Officer Brandt, what am I being charged with?
I need the section here in just a couple of minutes.
Disrupting a public meeting.
Thank you, officer.
Is that clear enough to you?
Thank you.
Do you need me to repeat it again?
I think you're...
That's the first time you've said that to me, officer.
Kind of well before you put them in the cuffs and took him into custody.
Did I put him in the cuffs?
I think it was Sergeant Baker took him in the cuff, and then you'd put him in the police car where he was, of course, not exactly at liberty to go, but he didn't know what his charge was until just now.
Did I?
Sergeant Baker put him in the cuffs, and I think
you.
I have that on the tape.
Thank you.
But you were supposed to inform him of what he charged he was being arrested for, and you didn't. I mean, not until just now. You took...
I didn't arrest him.
Oh, I see. So just because you put him in the car, you're just, just a little, transporting, and hence have no responsibility for whether this is done legally or not. Thank you, Officer Brandt.
Oh, you're more than welcome, ma'am. Anytime I can be of assistance to you.
Okay, now, Officer Brandt is putting a seatbelt around Robert. After all, safety first. So, we hear that the charges, that they finally figured out that the charges are disrupting a meeting. Now, whether that was for the silent Nazi salute that Councilmember Fitzmaurice was so concerned about, or perhaps his refusing to leave a meeting after that, and the decision by a council member or by Mayor Crone to call for a 5-minute recess at that point, maybe that would be considered the disruption. Anyway, Robert is in custody here, and it is March 12th. It's approximately 8 p.m., and I guess he's awaiting being transported out here outside City Hall, and waiting, I'm not sure what for. Perhaps for Sergeant Baker to come out and sign the citation, since Officer Brandt is not the arresting officer, he's merely the transporting officer, and therefore, doesn't have to have any knowledge or anything about conditions for arresting someone, since he's only merely the transporting officer, or so he tells us. Okay, it's been about 5 minutes.
Riding my bicycle on the streets, I certainly riding the bicycle. Sir, I'm just stories about how dangerous this is. You don't have any lights on your bicycle.
Yeah, they just fell off.
Then you can't ride it on the streets.
Okay,
we'll get one of those bogus tickets that they're writing bike drivers all the time. I would hate to see that.
I didn't quite hear what you said.
I said I would hate to see him get one of those bogus tickets that they're writing for bicycle riders all the time.
Bogus ticket? Somewhere in the vehicle code, I seem to see that it says, it's not on the bicycle, it needs to be on the bicycle. It says they have to have lights on the front of their bicycle and a reflector to the rear. If you look up the vehicle code, you'll find that's law in the state of California, believe it or not.
I believe in bike safety.
Well,
in that.
Why do you say it's a bogus ticket then?
Well, because I've seen a lot of bike riders get tickets here that I think were in error. And I think that the police department...
Most of the things we do are in error.
Well, no, the ones that I speak about I do think are in error. And
tell me I'm doing that.
I wouldn't say that, but I'm not thrilled with your performance, Officer Brand, either. I think that you have a rather brusque attitude towards public.
He made me the way I am.
And but the police department hired you, and you're representing the city, and you have certain standards that you're supposed to follow, you know, I'm sure they have no problem with how you are. I have a problem with how you treat people.
Well,
you know, I mean, I heard a story about you earlier today that's very disturbing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, some sort of verbal threat that you made to a young man.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. We told that same guy, I meant if I wanted to
go. All those bicycle grants and everything, but they're not to, like, give people headlights or helmets or anything, something useful for bike safety. They're just to hire more police officers to to write tickets for bicycle riders.
Did I write a ticket?
You didn't. You didn't? I didn't say you wrote a ticket.
Isn't that amazing?
In fact, actually, by warning him, you prevented, if he just continued on without your saying something, you might have written him a ticket then, you know, without the warning. I mean, I think a warning is a good thing to give.
Unfortunately, they don't take any notes.
Baker has come out, and he's directed Brandt to go, I'm not quite sure, he says, you go this way, I'll go that way. So there they go, off to wherever they're going. And he didn't say to the jail or the police station. In fact, he's not even headed in that direction, so I'm not really quite sure what's going on here.
And that was activist Becky Johnson giving her unbowed commentary outside city council chambers as she stood next to a squad car of Officer Brandt's. I was in the back seat. It was parked next to the Civic Auditorium across the street from the city council. And as promised, I actually let that tape run uninterrupted. I would like to hear some applause from all you listeners out there. There are numerous points, however, at which I wanted to interrupt in order to clarify some things, but I'll try and make those clarifications now. Baker's arrest of me at City Council happened during the recess. And, of course, the recess was taken so that the public, in my view, wouldn't see the arrest, so that they wouldn't see this sort of naked iron fist underneath the velvet glove of pseudo-progressivism that this town has. But the point is that to arrest me during a recess required a specific charge. Now, the police themselves can, if they see a crime or they're told that a crime was in progress, they can choose to say, yes, a crime has been committed and make an arrest. Baker chose not to do that. This was a citizen's arrest from Mayor Chris Crone, and a citizen's arrest is a somewhat different process. A citizen has to swear out a complaint that she or he feels a crime was in progress, and then the liability is with the citizen, and the police officer is obliged to take the individual into custody, that is to say, to write him or her a citation, that's what's meant by custody, and then to release him or her if she or he wants, if the police officer wants, unless he feels there's some reason to hold that person. At the point of my arrest, you heard Baker saying, I think you're being arrested for trespass. Baker had no specific complaint from the mayor. So it was an illegal arrest from that point. There was nothing signed that indicated a specific code section under which I was arrested. I was simply arrested on a vague he's doing something we don't want him to do, get him out of here. That's not the basis for an arrest. There has to be a crime. Now, they found a crime about 5 or 10 minutes later called disrupting an assembly, and that may be the crime under which I'm charged, but they didn't have it when they arrested me, and therefore it was an illegal arrest, just from that point alone. There was no charge. It was simply done in deference to the mayor. Can't do something in deference to the mayor. This is America, where every citizen to some extent has to stand on an equal footing in the light of the Constitution. Of course, in Santa Cruz, that's never been the case, and in most American cities, that's not the case. But we have to try to make that the case, and that's what I was trying to do there by refusing to leave a meeting, which I had a perfect right to be at, even though Councilmember Fitzmaurice didn't want me at that meeting because he didn't like seeing my arm go up indicating to him, I think you're a fascist, Fitzmaurice. Oh, actually, it wasn't directed toward Fitzmaurice. It was directed toward the entire council and toward specifically Mayor Crone and his decision not to allow people to speak. For the last, actually it would be a total of 6 minutes if he had allowed Michael Tomasi, myself, and Susan Zeman to finish out the time. And I'm going to be getting the final action agenda and see just how long that meeting eventually took. I don't think it took that long. I don't think there were that many things on the agenda that he couldn't have allowed that, particularly given his commitment to increased public access. He made a content-based decision. He didn't like us. He didn't like the speakers. Or else he made a rigid decision that was ill-advised, and then when people protested it in the only brief way they could, which wasn't disruptive, Susan Zeman went to the mic and protested.